So, good morning, Paul Speckmann, the Masters, charismatic. I'm fine, thanks. And you?
Everything is fine. Beautiful day today in the Czech Republic. It's sunny, a little bit windy and warm. It's perfect.
Oh, yes. Also here in Sanremo in Italy, the sun is shining and we have around 24 degrees right now.
Yeah, but it's always nice in Italy. It seems like every time I go there for a festival, the sun is shining, yeah?
Yes, I know, I know. Listen, I wanted to start this our interview saying that you are a master's charismatic and bearded bassist, vocalist, and very welcome to Metalsoc Finland. And thanks for this chance to interview you. We met a couple of weeks ago at Metal Italian Festival in Milan. For me, it was the first time to see you on stage, and the impact, there is always the first time, and the impact was devastating, very, very devastating.
Thank you, I appreciate that.
Yes.
It's like Masters and underground band, and this is a big problem, sort of as you said, is many people have never seen the band.
Well, so I had seen.
So people hear the songs and know the songs from years ago, et cetera, et cetera. And for some reason, the songs always seem to cross better, to come across better live. It's always been that way for Master.
Definitely.
There's always an energy and I don't know how to explain it, but for some reason it comes across better live always.
Yes.
But on the other hand, you know, it's difficult for a band like Master to get on a lot of these festivals. You know, you have to be invited, and it's very difficult sometimes for us.
Yes, and it could be sensed that your strong point is absolutely to be on stage. You know, that night I said, wow.
That's a nice thing to say. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, Paul. Well, listen, there would be so much to ask, and I don't know where to start. So do you prefer to start with the past or the present or the future?
Well, we can start with the past, sure, why not?
Yeah, okay, cool.
Feel free.
Yes, okay, I will pick up the first one. Please tell me, how did you and your bass guitar got together? Was it love at first sight?
You mean the new bass guitar, or you mean originally?
Originally, when you were much younger, a kid, because I've read something, but I want you to tell me.
Well, honestly, I was singing like in a cover band. You know, we were it was a band called White Cross when I was in high school.
Yeah,
I think I was probably maybe 16, going on 17. A young guy.
Yeah,
we're talking, you know, almost 40 years ago.
Yeah, but you know, I tell you that you are younger than me, so.
Okay, no problem.
Okay, good, good. So, go on.
So we're both young, is what you're saying?
Oh, yes, sure. Okay. Yeah, sure.
Obviously.
Yes.
Okay, I never would have guessed, yeah?
Okay. No.
So going back to what I'm saying is that, so I began singing in this band, like I said, doing cover songs of, like, UFO and, you know, attempts at Led Zeppelin and UFO and, you know, stuff like this. You know,
yes.
Like, you know, the early 70s rock is what we were trying to play.
Yes.
And I had discovered the bass by watching another band play when I was in high school as well. And I became infatuated with the bass. And like I said, I was singing these cover songs and watching the bass player in our band and stuff. And I just said, oh, maybe I should pick up the bass. So I bought a cheap bass, you know, a really piece of crap, whatever, and I just started practicing, and I remember one of the neighborhood kids saying to me, oh, you're never going to play bass, and blah, blah, blah. Well, I just started practicing, and you know, 7 hours a day after a while, I quit high school, which I don't recommend for people, but I did anyway. I quit high school, and I focused on the bass and got a job, and that's pretty much where it began, and then I just... I ran into an old friend from the Cub Scouts when we were kids, and he at this time had been learning how to play guitar, and we said, why don't we get together and try and help together?
Yes, jam a bit, yeah.
Yeah, so we jammed a bit and formed a band called Warcry, and I've been playing bass ever since, you know?
Yes. In fact, Warcry is the cult act doom metal gods. It got a huge popularity on those days.
Yeah, we just released like a small cassette, and back in the day you had the tape traders, and people just started trading this tape everywhere.
Yeah.
And as you said, it became kind of a cult underground thing, you know.
Yes.
Now, after a few years of doing shows and playing with those guys, they we, you know, as a band, we discovered Motley Crue, and unfortunately for the guys in Warcry, they wanted to stick with this Motley Crue image, and the image changed, and they became more commercial, and this is when I left the band.
Yeah, and then afterwards came Death Strike, right?
Yeah, Death Strike was next, and again, what happened was is I met the drummer, Bill Schmidt, and he had an idea for this band called Master, and this was shortly after turning him on to Venom, you know?
Yeah.
The guitar player in Warcry, he gave me a 7-inch of Venom. It had a Welcome to Hell songs on there. It had a Live Like an Angel, Die Like a Devil, and In League with Satan on there. And I turned this drummer on to this. He was in Warcry for one show, and this 7-inch changed his life as well as mine.
Yes.
And he said, you know, I'd like to do this new band called Master, or blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Try it. And we got as far as taking photographs. He wrote a few songs. He wrote some good songs, a couple songs.
Yeah.
He wrote Master, Pledge of Allegiance, and the song called Terrorizer, which actually the band from California took the name Terrorizer from the Master demo. But regardless, we got as far as photographs, and we couldn't find a guitar player, and so this drummer went and joined another band in Chicago called Mayhem.
Yeah, not the Norwegian one. From Norway.
Yeah, not Norwegian, but the Chicago one.
Yes, yes.
And then what happened was is I put together a band on my own called Death Strike, and eventually the drummer crawled back and begged and pleaded that he could join Death Strike, and we became Master again, and the rest is pretty much history. That's where
yes, yes. In fact, the next question was about Master that you formed in 83, and due to some internal problems, you put it on hold for a couple of years. But then in 1990, Master was signed by Nuclear Blast, right?
Actually, this was in 1989.
89, okay.
And just to clear everything up here, what happened was is Abomination was signed first.
Yeah.
At that time, in 1987 and 88, I was working with a band called Abomination.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I was singing, playing bass. I wrote 90% of the material, etc. It was more of a thrashy...
Yeah.
Thrashy Master version, I guess, because the vocals were similar, you know. And what happened was is finally in 89, after signing the Abomination deal, Mitch Harris from Napalm Death, he and Joe Caper, they were in a band on Nuclear Blast as well earlier before Napalm Death. And they, I ran into the singer Joe Caper in the forest somewhere in Chicago when I was living there. And I gave him the demo of Abomination. He got us the record deal. And then a week later, I got an offer from Nuclear Blast for Master.
Yeah, cool, cool.
And so we signed both contracts.
Yes. And do we want to remind the people how you got the name Master from the certain song of Black Sabbath? Right.
Yes, it was from the Master of Reality album, the song called Lord of This World. I named the band, and the drummer didn't name the band. It was another guy in a local band called Witch Slayer from Chicago that actually named the band Master.
Yeah, because there in that song there is this sentence, you made me master of the world where you exist.
Exactly. Right. That's exactly
where it came from. Cool song. Talking about still about the past, is there something that today you would do differently or wouldn't do at all, or something that still makes you very angry?
Sure.
Let's say pissed off. Go ahead.
Of course.
Tell me.
Exactly. What happened was is that my father passed away in late 1984. He left me... a substantial amount of money. And after Master reformed in 85, after the Death Strike situation, I spent a bunch of money in the studio to record the Master demos. And we got an offer from Combat Records. And actually the same offer was the offer that Possessed and Death signed a little bit later. So we actually had a deal before both of these bands. Anyway, and the biggest mistake was is that the drummer, original drummer Bill, he was afraid of his own shadow. And We took this contract to a guy named Kim Fowley. He was actually the manager of the Runaways. If you see the Runaways movie, there's a little bit more about him. He wrote songs for Kiss and Alice Cooper. He was a famous producer. Well, he read my contract for $1 a minute, and he turned this underground combat contract into a $1 million deal. Well, yeah. Obviously, yeah. Combat threw it in the garbage. Mm. And Master broke up before anything ever really happened. We got as far as recording the demos.
Yeah.
We got a record deal, and we split up. And looking back, hindsight, it's just 2020, as you say, but point is that we should have signed that contract, because right now I'd be a multi-millionaire. But on the other hand, maybe I'd be dead too.
You never know. I mean, sometimes the things in life happens for a reason.
And this is what I believe. Exactly, yes. What you said. I think things happen for a reason. And at the time we received the master contract, the whole band was strung out on cocaine and marijuana. And very heavily, you know, nothing heavier than cocaine, but still, it was a bad addiction. I think that if we signed that deal, maybe somebody would have died in the band within the first few years.
Yeah, so, the things went as they went, and now you are here. And during these years, you have played on several huge stages worldwide. So, why don't you tell me your best or funniest memories so far? I know there must be plenty of them.
Oh, you know, the memories, they're still come and go, you know, but
yeah.
One strange incident, which I always like to talk about, was in South America, in Honduras, and we got on stage, and we're playing the songs, and in the middle of maybe the seventh or eighth song, Mango Dehumanization, I got a tap on my shoulder, and it was a strange show, because it was like there were, 800, 900, maybe crazy, you know, maniacs there. And at this time in 1998, we were one of the first metal bands to ever play there.
Yeah.
So these people were going berserk, and I remember there was a problem with the grounding, so they had to put a carpet on stage, because for the first song, mm-hmm. I was getting electrocuted through my mouth. Anyway, so going back to the story, I turn around after this tap on my shoulder.
Yeah.
And the stage is filled with police, you know, federales with machine guns.
Oh, right,
well,
really?
Actually not machine guns, AK-47s.
Well, yeah, anyhow, the guns, yeah.
Anyhow, and the guy runs his finger across his throat, and I say to him, un momento, por favor, señor, I remember this, and he smiled at me, and he let us finish the song, and then right afterwards, they whisked us away in taxis, and we left. See, what happened was is that somebody in the audience picked up a board from the ground. It was like an old warehouse.
Yeah.
And he started swinging the board around, and people's faces and noses were getting broken. It was blood flying in the air.
Oh, my God.
Just before the police hit me in the arm. Well, anyway, basically, there was a riot.
Yes.
And so this is one story that, you know,
that reminds in mind, for sure.
Yeah, that's something that I'll never forget, you know?
Yeah, I know. Let's talk about the music. I mean, while composing, what are your influences? I mean, what bands are you listening to, or where you get your influences from?
Okay, well, let's just start in the beginning. In the beginning, obviously, it was Venom,
yeah.
Slayer, you know that, Motorhead, GBH, Minor Threat, MDC, Discharge. I was really into the earlier heavy punk stuff. This was a big influence for me. And then, you know, we did the Deathstroke stuff and the Master albums. And after that, I stopped listening to any kind of death metal. Today, I don't listen to anybody unless I'm forced to. What I listen to today, you're going to smile on this one. I listen to bands like Rainbow and UFO and Dio, obviously. And
yes.
Black Sabbath and early Judas Priest and Saxon, things like this.
Yeah, great.
I'm into like old heavy metal, and that's all I listen to. I listen to old rock too, like Deep Purple and Thin Lizzy. These are the bands that I listen to. And what I learned a long time ago is it's better if you don't listen to your own style of music so much, because otherwise you start copying other bands and you start sounding like, let's say, some of the bands you already influenced.
Yes, that's
and
true.
For me, it's better to listen to rock. Because the influence, I don't get influenced by it. I just enjoy it, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
And this
yeah.
is the reason why, let's say, that I continually can put out a cool album. It's because I'm not listening to other people. I'm listening to rock and metal and stuff. And it's like, the stuff comes from inside my mind, you know, when I'm writing yes. a new song or whatever. It just comes to me. I don't know why, but it does, yeah?
In fact, that's what I was going to ask next. In what situation you be? I mean, when you know that, okay, now the new song is coming up.
No, that's just it, is that I don't know. It's like, what happens is I'll be sitting in my office on the computer or whatever, doing something, and maybe watching a movie or whatever may be happening, and I'll just have an urge to pick up the guitar.
Yeah.
And I'll pick up the acoustic guitar, and sometimes I'll write a song, sometimes not.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
This is probably happening once a month.
Yes, okay. And
I can't really predict when, yeah?
Yeah, yeah, fair enough. I mean, the creative work, you can't command it. It comes when it's the right moment, right?
Yeah, it's like I find that like when you force yourself to write stuff, it's not as good, so
yeah,
I just let it come to me. If something comes, okay. If it's, you know, it's like in a year I'll probably record like, say, 150 riffs or something on my little handheld recorder on the acoustic guitar.
Yeah.
And then I'll go through it, and I may find, you know, five or six good riffs in there.
Yes.
Most stuff is junk. But what happens, I'll just listen to the little recorder and hope for something, and sometimes you find something good, and that's how it works. And then I'll write a song from there, yeah?
Yeah, and that's also because as long as metal and music is passion, I mean, then it's creative. But if it becomes a work, so then I think it kills something.
Exactly, and that's just it. You hit the nail on the head there. For me, it's not work. I enjoy what I'm doing, and this is why I still do it. You know, after 30 years, I still enjoy it.
Yeah.
It's not work for me.
And Paul, it can be seen.
Thank you.
The other night on stage, I saw it, yes. And talking about the topics that you are writing, it's like punk-like dealing with politicians and social issues such as war, religion, and the negative impact of the media on the mind. So what can you tell me about this side? I mean, the topic side.
But, you know, we live in a terrible world, you know.
Yes, very.
It's like, it's like every year it's worse and worse, you know.
Yes.
People are just trying to kill each other. And the sad but true fact is that governments of the world everywhere are getting more and more control. And it's a sad thing, you know. It's like when I grew up in the 70s, you were free, or at least I thought we were free, you know. And
yeah.
It's like in today's world, you know, you're going through the... through like a Doctor Who, the TARDIS, when you're flying to America, you have to go through, it looks like a time machine, you know, put your hands up and they do a full retina body scan. And
yeah.
It's like they know where you go and they know who you are, they know everything about you, and it's like, I don't think it's freedom. And this is why I sing about this stuff. It's like the politicians we know in every country are corrupt,
yes.
They're rich, they're getting more money, and they're trying to take control of everything you do.
Yes.
And that scares the hell out of me.
Yeah.
So for me, I have to sing and write about these things. I'm hoping that one day some young guy will organize, you know, a riot against these governments and pull down these corrupt people. I don't know if it'll ever happen, but at least I have to share that message and hope that one day someone will take control and turn the world into a truly free society again.
Yeah,
that's
a dream.
It's all about, you know?
Yes, that's...
I personally realize that Satan sells and you can make a lot more money putting on corpse paint and singing about the devil. But for me, fiction is better in books.
Yes, that's true.
For me, I would rather sing about what's really going on in the world in hopes of opening up people's eyes. Maybe it never happens, but... for me, I have to try. Yeah.
Yes, yes, but as they say, never give up on your dreams. Never
exactly.
Give up. Yes. And about your band, I don't even try to pronounce their names. So why don't please introduce your band members and tell me also what are your three strongest traits? I mean, you as Paul Speckman.
Okay, the band members, first of all, it's Zdenek Fredlovsky. He plays drums, and he's a very good drummer, I think.
He was in Italy, yes. He was.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
And the guitar player is Aleš Nejedzkleba, also a good guitar player. He does the job. I'm happy with these guys.
Okay. And
okay,
you...
now my strongest traits are, I have to think about it.
If you like, I will ask it again at the end of the interview, if you want to think about
it. Well, the point is that number one, I never give up.
Good, good.
I believe in myself. I'll never stop believing in myself.
Yes.
And, you know, I'm a workaholic. Which is a strong trait, too. I'm looking for concerts and festivals and tours nearly every single day of my life. And the great thing is that I'm finding them. I'm always finding more concerts. For example, the Metal Italia thing. You know, I saw a poster from Benny 2 or 3 years ago for the Rock Hard Festival, and I wrote him myself. Hitch, I play in a band called Master. We'd love to play your festival. Well, ever since then, Benny keeps giving me a festival or two festivals every year.
Yes.
And it's only because of perseverance that I contacted them myself. It wasn't the other way around. And, and this is how I get a lot of shows and festivals, by writing the agency myself.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Paul. I'm in a band, Master. You ever hear of us? Could you help us? As where if I was just to sit around and do nothing, we wouldn't be playing anywhere.
Yeah, that's true. And in fact, next topic is about touring. You by chance are reading my my questions here.
No. Sorry.
Okay, last year in September, you released the Witch Hunt on FDA Records.
Yeah.
And it seems quite much so that after the release, you've been touring all the time. So what are the highlights of this past year? I mean, about the shows and tours. And of course, the Italian one was the best among the best ones, right?
Sure, yes. It was a great one, of course.
It was.
Italian was a great one. We went to South America again, you know, Brazil and Colombia, Chile and Argentina. Again, these shows were fantastic. Okay, we didn't have our guitar player. It was a little rough. We had a different guitar player.
Mm-hmm.
Marcelo from Brazil, he was fantastic. You know, but, yeah, you know, there's always highlights. We're always playing.
Yes.
I'm happy, you know?
The show is your highlight.
There you go. The show
is
perfect.
Yes.
The show is my highlight.
Great. Great motto.
Poetry in motion.
Yes, yes. In fact, well, I make anyhow this question because basically you have already replied, but I want to hear more about it. So please tell me, what do you feel while playing on stage?
I feel like I can do no wrong, you know? I mean, yeah, I'm not perfect. I make mistakes like anybody else. But it's like a funny thing to say, but when I, many years ago in Holland, I said in a magazine, and I was on the cover actually, I said that the stage is better than sex.
Yeah.
The reason why I said that is because it's like you're having sex with the whole audience instead of just with one person.
Yes.
Don't get me wrong, but I just said the stage sometimes is better than sex because you're touching so many people at one time.
Mm.
I know it's a strange thing to say, and when people read that, they thought, "Oh my God, this guy's crazy." But you're touching the whole crowd. I think it's very interesting, and I like it.
Yes.
And so when I feel like when I'm on stage, I feel like I can do whatever I want. It's like my show, my stage, and I really enjoy the experience every time. Really.
Yes. Yes. I do believe you, because I was there. So far, you have released 11 studio albums. Which one for you is the most significant one for your career?
Oh, for my career, obviously the first two were the most significant.
So Master and On the Seventh Day, God.
Yeah, but the point is that, you know, the last several records really are the best. You know, it's unfortunate that, you know, I know other bands have the same problem. You know, it's unfortunate that some people are always going to only like the first two records. And unfortunate for me and many bands, they don't give the newer records a chance. But I personally think The Witch Hunt and The New Elite are probably the best records we ever recorded.
Yeah.
I mean, back in the day, there weren't so many bands, there wasn't so much competition. So On the Seventh Day and the first Master, you know, they're selling 25 or 30,000 units. Today, you're lucky to sell 5,000 units of a new record, because everybody illegally downloads it and they don't buy it anymore.
Sure,
but my point is the newer records are better because you have more experience. I have more control of my voice.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not using tricky things in the studio. Everything is more natural.
Yes, and what about the new Master album? I think that you are working for new material or something.
Yeah, we just released a new album in September, the end of last year.
Yeah, so
but I've already begun writing. We have four new originals for the next album. We're already writing the new album as we speak.
Okay.
It's like I'm really busy. At the same time right now, I'm writing lyrics for the Johansson Speckman Project album number 2.
Yeah.
I go in the studio and start singing for that next week. I also have a project with Witchburner Seagull in Germany. We're also
Ah, you are really reading my questions here.
okay,
Oh
sorry.
my God. I don't know how you do it, but you do it. Because my next question is, Paul, do we want to talk about cadaveric poison?
Yeah, of course, it's going to be an excellent album. We just recorded. What they did is they recorded two songs, and they asked me if I'd be interested in singing. And of course, I listened to it and I liked it. So I wrote the lyrics for the two songs, and excuse me, they came out very good.
Yes.
So.
In fact, last February formed this new old school death metal project with
Yeah,
Siegel and Felix. Yes.
it should be released, I guess, in a few weeks on a 7-inch. It's only two songs, but. Anyway, I spoke with the guys and I said, "Why don't we do a full album? I like what you guys are writing." They sent me a few more songs now. They're really good. And we're going to record a new album and maybe do play one concert, one festival, or a record release party in Germany. Unfortunately, like with the Johannes Speckmann and this new project, Everett Poison. The problem is these guys have jobs and lives and kids and families, and it's hard to get them to go out and ever play. So they may just be studio projects, but I would like to go out and play. So I'm hoping I can at least get them to do a festival or a record release party at least one time, you know?
Yeah, sure. We want to see you on stage. So I will look forward to have some news from you. Can we talk about a certain pictorial book? What is the
Yes.
situation right now?
The
Because
crazy
just
situation.
a couple of weeks ago, you released on Facebook at the end of May that contracts are signed, and so please tell me.
Okay, well, I signed a book deal. It's a pictorial book with some stories, and was due out on my 50th birthday, last September 28th. Unfortunately for me, there were a lot of problems. They started doing the layout, and one of the German guys had a problem with no feeling in the side of his face, so he was in the hospital for 4 months. So what happened was, so it was delayed. They found another layouter. Then the president of the company was in the hospital for 4 months. I think he's 70 or so. Then we're nearing completion, and my friend who put together the whole thing, Annie from Skullcrusher in Germany, had a heart attack.
No, it's got to
So
be
I
a
didn't have.
killer book, killer book.
Yeah, it's
Yes.
gonna be a killer book. It almost killed
Yeah.
three people, unfortunately.
Ay,
Anyway,
anyhow, yeah.
I got some. They've been sending me Xerox copies of the pages and blah blah blah.
Yeah.
I got the test pressing of most of the book, and I spoke with the book company last week, and it's nearing completion. They said very, very soon, within a month, it's finished, and
Yeah.
finally we can release it.
Oh, great, great. That's a good news. And without anybody to get ill, okay?
Yeah, exactly. It's terrible. I felt bad about it too, you know, it's
Yeah,
tough.
but as they say, for some reason it had to go in this way, and that you will release it soon. As you mentioned that you are currently preparing to your next tour, kicking off in Helsinki, where I am from. So, what else you can tell me about your busy upcoming tour seasons?
Right now it's just some shows. It's a festival in Helsinki, as you said, we're headlining. Then the following weekend we play in Novi Itchen, another Czech festival, we're headlining. Then Torgau, Germany, Grind the Nazi Scum. Then the following weekend we fly to Italy to Foggia to play another festival with Destruction as the headliner. We're the co-headliner. I'm looking forward to this. And then we're doing like Obscene Extreme, and then in the fall, in September, a 10-day tour in Europe. Then October, and then November is another tour. Now December, we're working on a tour in Brazil again. We're busy all the way until the end of the year, which is a good thing, you know?
So anyhow, talking about the Master's new album, because I know that there are many who would die to know what's coming up. So in that case, we could wait a new Master album next year.
Yeah, it'll be in 2015, you know.
Okay, great, great.
Because the label said, hey, we gotta sell some more of the other one first.
Great.
But at least we're getting ready, you know. And it's unusual because we've never done it so early in advance before. So actually, by the time we get to the studio, the album is really going to be fine-toned after working on it for almost a year. I can't wait.
Sure. And because then when you go there prepared, you also work better.
Exactly, and faster, and it's cheaper. Cheaper too.
that's the key point, key word also. Listen, Paul, what should I ask? Because we are nearly at the end, and I would like you to tell me how you see the metal scenes have changed in these years. And I'm not talking just about the file sharing and that kind of stuff.
Okay, well, I have to say that I am pleased that many of the festivals are still going on, especially in Italy and Germany and France, you know, and Spain, etc., Czech Republic. I'm happy that there's still strong support for the scene.
Yes.
This is very important. But the one thing that's a bit unusual to me and that I don't like so much is that all these bands are reforming and they're making a lot more money than we are. That's life. But the point is a lot of these bands, I never went away.
Yes.
I've been struggling the whole entire 30 years and still struggling for some festivals to get thrown a bone or for peanuts.
Yeah.
Small money. And all these bands are reforming, and it seems to me a lot of the bands are just reforming for the money.
Yes.
I don't know if they're really into it, because I see some of these bigger bands, I'm not going to mention any names, and they're out there playing, and I just don't see them giving off the same energy that my band is.
Yeah, because it has become a work, not a passion.
And, you know, some of these bands are making like 40,000 euros for a show, and my band Master is fighting to get 1,000. And, you know, sometimes, and it's like, we're putting on a show that's better than these bands that are getting 40,000, and for some reason it's not happening, for us.
Yeah, you know, when you lose your passion and make the compromises to become more commercial, then, you know, the real spirit of the music is gone, to my opinion.
Yeah, people are only going to hear those couple songs, and for you, it's only about the money.
Yeah. So
I agree with you. And the other thing I want to say is that, unfortunately, too, today is just like you got all these younger bands that are like mixing up 20 styles in one song. And some people are buying it, okay, the new generation, but it's just pitiful for me, number one. And number two, a big problem I find today is that there's not anything really new anymore.
Yeah, everything has been written.
In the early 80s, it was fresh and new and... Today, like, you go see a lot of these bands in different styles. I don't want to say who, but you go see these bands, and they all sound the same, and many of them are playing master riffs or death riffs or massacre riffs or possess riffs, and it's supposed to be a new band.
So they are imitation.
Like all the old band. I don't want to see an imitation.
No.
I want to see you come up
the
with
real
something
stuff.
Cool and unique.
Yes, I want to see the real stuff, that's for sure. In fact, as you are going to read my copies here, my questions, because I ask you that, what is your advice to the bands of today?
Okay, my advice is to try and come up with something new and unique. I realize people want to say that everything has been done.
Yes.
But on the other hand, you know, I seem to write a new record that's different every time. Okay, it has a feeling that it's Speckman, of course. You recognize the vocals and maybe the patterns or whatever, but I still try and come up with something new on every record. So for the younger generation today, just try and come up with your own way. Don't just try and copy somebody else because they're heavy. You got to look for the music inside you.
Yes.
And that's what I think is wrong today, is that people just copy. They're not looking to be fresh and new and exciting.
Yes,
and all I can say is you have to try, of course.
Okay, and find your own way of doing it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, like, yeah, you can go your own way.
Go
your own way. That is the truth.
Yes, that's true.
I know it's a silly commercial song, but it doesn't matter. It's the truth. You can go your own way. You have to find your own way.
Yeah, I fully agree on that. Listen, Paul, before the last question, how you spend your free time, if you have any?
I have a lot of free time.
Okay, please tell me one.
Right now, like I said, I get up in the morning, I walk the dogs early in the morning, whatever, 6:30. My wife goes to work. I turn the computer on, I start looking for shows. I also do my post every day, because I probably get 50 orders a week, sometimes more.
Great.
For different shirts and things, and you know, and I hang around, relax. I go fishing. I go to the forest. I ride my bicycle. I look for mushrooms for cooking.
Oh, great!
Like during the week, Monday through Friday, I make dinner at home. I'm a good cook, so I cook, and my wife cooks on the weekends, and I have a lot of free time.
Okay,
we're probably doing 120 concerts a year. And then the rest of the year, I'm free to do whatever I wish.
Okay.
I don't have a job. I live from the music. I'm not rich, but I'm comfortable.
Yeah, that's great. And I can see you from this webcam because I see you all the time when you're talking, that you're a very relaxed guy.
Oh, you can see me?
Yes, I can see you.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
Oh, I see you. You don't see me, but I see you.
Yeah, okay. And I see me too, so that's okay.
Okay.
That's fine. Okay.
Yeah,
that's
you look very relaxed and happy also.
Yeah, well, you know, life is difficult for everybody, for me too sometimes.
Yes.
For example, I had T-shirts printed last week. They came. I sent out 25 T-shirts this week. And the T-shirt company made a mistake, and the back print comes off in one wash.
Mm. Oh, God.
So right now I'm waiting for UPS to pick up all the T-shirts, take them back.
And do them
and
again.
And I'm explaining to 25 people what's wrong with the shirts and saying I'm sorry because there's nothing I can do about it.
Yeah, of course.
The T-shirt company will send them 25 new T-shirts very soon. Okay, it's the first time in 8 years. Okay, it doesn't happen very often, but... We all have our problems, you know?
Yes, I know. I hope you will sort them all. I mean,
I will, of course.
Yes. And listen, now, Paul, the last question and the word is yours. How would you like to close this hour chat? To sing me something again or take your bass or what is your message to your fans? And
my message is always the same.
Yeah.
Go out and support the bands that you like. Go to the concerts. Buy their T-shirts. Buy physical copies of their CDs because they're not all rich, including me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's plenty of bands out there you think are rich and they're still struggling because they have shitty record deals. I happen to have a good one now.
Yes.
But
good.
Still, support the guys out there because otherwise the music's going to stop. When the guys can't afford to survive anymore, the bands are going to break up. You know, if you want to see Master... Try and support the band, you know.
Yes.
You could buy a patch for €5 or a pin or whatever, you know. You don't have to spend your life savings on the band.
Every
little bit helps, and I don't mean just Master. I mean bands in general. You know, the underground bands that you see at the concerts, they're struggling.
Yes.
I notice. I'm one of them.
Yeah. So let's keep the good music go on and let's support it in all the way we can. And of course, to come, my very pleasure to chat you, Paul, because
it was a nice conversation. I really thank you very much, you know.
I wish you all the best and hope to see you soon on stage. Because
you will.
I loved it. I loved it,
thank
what
you.
I saw
awesome.
The other night. Take care and talk to you soon again.
And you have a wonderful afternoon, yeah?
Thank you. Thank you, Paul. Bye-bye.